Genesis 22. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of your mountains, on one of the mountains on which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood and of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, took it his hand, the fire, and the knife, so the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here I am, my son. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. And they came to the place of which God told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood, bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for biblical characters, God, such as Abraham, Lord, men of faith, Father, that we can look towards as inspiration, God, and encouragement. And Father, this morning, God, we just want to open our hearts to you, God. Help us, Lord, as believers, God, to run after you, to seek after you, Lord, but ultimately, Lord, to take steps of faith towards you as well. And so we thank you, Lord, we bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Abraham is an amazional. I put amazing and inspirational together, and you get amazional. But he's an amazingly inspirational character, especially for one of the greatest acts of faith that we see from an individual in the Bible. And this is something that's quite well known to many people. In fact, part of the reason why I'm kind of preaching on this came from recently, some of the processing that I'm going through, and also as I'm teaching classes in GIC, with some of the things that I see God doing, and I really felt like God was kind of speaking towards this area. Now, I know as Christians, one of the things that we're told to do, and especially we're encouraged to do, especially in SP, is this idea, and I mean in churches really around the world, is this idea of following God. Right, what it means to love him, to give up our lives for him, and really to act in such ways that are faithful. Right, when God calls, we go. When God speaks, we're willing to simply just lay down our lives and to do what it is he asks of us. I mean, that's really the Christian life, right? That we're really taught to live. But the reality is, it's really not so simple. Right? The reality is, oftentimes when God asks of us, it's often well beyond what it is that we have, what we consider ourselves to have the faith for. And more importantly, it's well beyond what it is that we ever expected that God would ask of us, or even what it is that we desire to do. And so why is it that I'm preaching on this? And the reason is because I think there's something in Abraham's life that a lot of times us as Christians, and especially those who've kind of maybe newer to the faith, but maybe also have been struggling with their walk, have kind of missed, is this idea of processing, right? It's the idea that when we are, when God asks of us, when God moves us into areas of our life that requires a certain amount of faith, we do not have to fear that it's an instantaneous thing, right? It's one of those things where God calls us to, as he processes us, as he moves us, as he grows us and matures us. Now, what do I mean by this? The offering of Isaac, like I was saying at the beginning, one of the most famous examples of faith. And in fact, I came upon this because when I was asking one of my GIC students You know, give me an example of faith that you feel like that you wish you could do, you know, like something that really inspired you. And the first thing this person said was, I want to be like Abraham, right? When God asks me to sacrifice my son, I'm going to be able to sacrifice my son. And so I asked the person, think about it for a second, what you're asking for. But the amazing thing is, although most of us, when we think of Abraham as this amazingly faithful person, he was not always like this. In fact, he fell apart more than a few times, right? If we look at the story of Isaac from the beginning, from Genesis 12 all the way to 22, although God had asked him to leave his country and to leave his family, he took his nephew with him. He asked him to go to the promised land to stay there. He went to Egypt. And then when God asked him to trust in him, he lied so that he could get through whatever it was that God asked him to get through. And it took him many times of processing until we get to this point. In fact, at the beginning of chapter 22, it says, now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. See, it required that Abraham went through steps of faith in order to get to this jump of sacrifice your son. It wasn't something that he was able to do from the beginning. It was one of those things that he was able to do after God had processed him through his brokenness and through his inabilities. Now, the easiest example I always have when it comes to something like this is, you ask any pastor this, I can guarantee you that any pastor that is a, well, you know, I can't guarantee you, but I can speak for myself and probably most people on staff, like Pastor Andrew or Pastor Nate or whatnot, that when we were saved, if you told us that we were going to be pastors, we would have said, heck no, I'll see you later. In fact, I said, heck no, I'll see you later for about 9 years after that. Well, praise God, I never actually left. But, you know, you ask any of us, if we knew that we were going to be pastors the day we were saved, we would have said, forget it, right? There's no way we would have said yes to one, that sort of responsibility, or even this idea of, you know, can I even be a pastor, right? I mean, most of us that were asked to be a pastor even had to struggle through this idea of, you know, can I do, you know, what God is asking of me, or even what, you know, really the reality is, or what PSAM is asking of us? No, we wouldn't have done it, right? Now, let's not even take pastoring. Let's, you know, something a bit more practical for you guys, you know, in your jobs. Especially, we'll talk about the finance area, right? Many of you guys, you know, whether it's in finance or law, whatever the case may be, are probably in situations in which for you to be able to get ahead require for you to do a lot of things that the scriptures probably ask you not to do, right? That is the reality of the world that we live in. And part of the difficulty for you, and especially for this person that I was talking to, is how is it that I live a Christian life to follow God, to be able to do what Abraham did in face of the difficulty of the world? And the answer simply is this: you don't have to right away. The reality is, all we have to do is to go through what Abraham did. It's the reality is, after these things, is you simply have to do your best to be faithful to what you can and allow God to process you to the point where you're able to give up something even as precious as a son. Right now, am I saying it's okay to disobey God or anything like that? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, for us to be able to do something as big as sacrifice a son, it simply requires small steps of faith. Right? It simply requires for us to take it one step at a time. See, the reality of the Christian faith is not this idea of, obviously, you know, Paul will talk about the when we're saved, there's a new self and a new creation. But for most of us, it doesn't happen right away, right? I know Scripture talks about the idea of trust in the Lord with all your with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding and all your ways acknowledge Him, right? That through experience, even that word acknowledge, the word yada, is to know and to experience Him so that you can trust in Him. And so we can only do that through small steps of faith. And so the first thing we really can draw from Abraham, from this idea of, sacrificing his son and his ability to do it is we first need to be able to be faithful in the small things. Right? It's not about the big jump of I'm a believer, now I give up everything and I go to be a missionary, to be in you know, whether it's Africa or Mongolia or whatever the case may be. It's to say, God, how can I be faithful in just even the small things you ask of me today? Maybe it's to not to say a certain thing. Maybe it's not to do a certain thing in your workplace. Maybe it's not to, you know, do as the world does. Not necessarily the big jump, but the small steps at a time. Because the reality is, from where we sit, where God wants us to be, it's an impossibility for us. Right? The step of faith that it takes to go from here, when we believe, to here, to sacrificing a son, requires for us to see God faithful first in the little things. And that's exactly what happened to Abraham, right? God asks him to go, leave your country. He takes Lot. He recognizes it was a mistake. He finally gets rid of Lot, and then he sees, God, okay, God, I recognize you're all that I need. Right? And I can imagine why Abraham would take Lot in his old age. He was 75 years old, remember, when he left. He probably thought, if I had a younger nephew, I won't feel as alone. I'd probably have someone to do my dirty work, right? Whether to cut to firewood or to go and feed my sheep, all these sort of things. But he had to recognize that the way of the world was not what God asked of him. And he had to learn that through processing, right? And then when he went into Egypt, he also had to learn that God is the one that delivered him. Not his lies, not what he said, not the things that he would think was required of him. And then through these steps of faith, finally when God asked him to sacrifice Isaac, he said, okay, Lord, I'm willing to do it. And so the first thing we need to do, right, take that small step. Whatever God's asking of you to do today, just do it, right? The reality is, what he's actually asking of you is really not as big as what it is that, you know, we know that God's eventually getting, asking of us to get to. But it's the reality of, if we call ourselves Christians, is being willing to say, okay, Lord, I may not understand, but I'm willing to take that small step, right? I'm willing to come and see that you are faithful, okay? The second thing, I think it's important for us to remember, how is it that us as Christians can get to this point of being able to take this step of faith, is to recognize it's okay for us to make mistakes. It's okay for us to fail, right? I think one of the most paralyzing things oftentimes as Christians is this thought of, what if I make the wrong choice, right? What if I go to the wrong place that God doesn't want me to go? All these sort of things. And to that I say, hey, it's okay. Right? If your heart is fully for God, if your desire is simply to love God and to do the thing, His will, I think even if you were to make the wrong choice, with the best of the ability that you have, God can still redeem whatever situation and whatever decision that you make. The importance is not necessarily in making the mistake, it's not the mistake itself, it's the heart and the willingness to follow God. Remember, part of that journey is the processing God takes us through, so we can take the large step of faith. And so the reality is, a lot of times, whatever it is that we're deciding to do, the outcome is not so much the issue as our willingness to simply wait on God and to listen and to follow Him. Now, let me make something very clear. If your decision is to go and get drunk or not, the it's very clear, don't get drunk, right? If your decision is to, should I go and divorce, right? Don't do it, right? I mean, obviously, there's circumstances that allow all these sort of things, but I'm trying to be very clear here. The idea is, I'm not talking about very clear black and white things, right? I'm simply talking about, if you're trying to follow God and you're not sure what to do, it's okay to make some mistakes. You guys kind of understand the difference, right? Like Abraham, God had a great call for him, but God had to process him to this place. And the last thing is simply this, and I think we can learn from this idea of Abraham, is in order for us to be able to live this Christian life where we can do these great things, we simply have to be willing to obey. Right, Genesis 15:6 says this about Abraham. He says, "Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness." See, the idea of righteousness for God and the idea of growth and maturity and coming to perfection is not in our ability to be perfectly able to be to follow God every step of the way. Righteousness in that way is simply the willingness for us as Christians to say yes. Right? It's simply for us to be willing to say, "God, I'll do it. I don't understand it, but I'll do it. God, I don't understand how this will get me to whatever it is that I feel like I need to get to, but I'll do it. I don't understand how I'll survive in my company by living the way you asked me to in the scriptures, but I'll do it." See, it is only in the yes. It is only in the willingness to see him faithful that we're able to grow. Why? Because the reality is this, if we're only, and this is one of my favorite PSAMisms, right? If we only ever do what we're able to do, how can we ever see God in our situations, right? And I mean, obviously, he typically says that for other people, right? If how can other people see God if they can only see you, right? What you're able to do. But I think that's applicable to us. How can we ever see God and grow in our faith if we ever only do what we feel like we're able to do for ourselves, right? How can we take these, how can we really understand the magnitude of God's power and his providence, of all these things, unless we're able to say, "Okay, Lord, I'll try it," and then let God be God in our lives. One of the things I always remember as a step of faith, and especially now, my wife and I are preparing, Steph and I are preparing to take this step of faith to go to Shanghai. I still remember to this day I remember when we used to have the Vision Fund. I remember like 4 or 5 years ago, or probably not that long now, 3 years ago, we had a Vision Fund. And I remember that I was praying one year, and I remember PSAM was talking about, okay, take this step of faith, just pray about it, see what God is leading you to do and to give. And I remember God led me to this number that I actually had. I actually didn't have it in my bank account. I'm not going to say how much it was, but I remember it was large enough where I said, "I don't have it, let me forget about it." And I remember we had a year. PSAM said, "If you don't have it now, don't worry about it. Just give it a year, see what God does." And praise God, because in that year, I got married to Steph, and she was an international school teacher. And when I married her, she married into my holy debt. And so it was awesome because I felt like we had enough to give to what it was, what I felt like God was asking for me, and I guess at the time for us to give, and we emptied everything that we had. In fact, it was to the point we had nothing. Like basically, we signed this check, we gave it to SP, and we didn't even realize it at the time because we had some other bills we had to pay, stuff like that. So we thought we'd be okay, but when everything was said and done, we were like, "Oh shoot, we're not going to have enough to pay our bills next week, or basically next month in terms of our rent." And we're like, "Oh, Lord, what are we going to do?" And I remember during that time, after we got married, Steph was actually jobless for 8 months. She had finished her master's degree. And so she didn't work for 8 months. And so she had no income. This was when I was basically still in a startup with very minimum salary. And so we wouldn't have had enough. And we started going, "Lord, if this was you, you got to help us." And so, you know, we kind of went along with the month. There's nothing you can really do, right? I mean, you just kind of go on. And praise God, by the, basically, like, 1 week, 2 weeks before we had to pay our rent, remember, at this point, Steph still hadn't actually applied to any jobs or anything like that. But what happened was a school called her and offered her a job. And basically what happened was she had left her name on this teacher's hiring website, and she completely forgot about it, and she hadn't updated it in years. And out of the blue, and basically it's a school she works at now. It was CDNIS, just offered her a job and said, "Hey, can you come back and teach for us?" And then the next week, basically, and we didn't even expect this, it was basically this idea of, hey, because you're going to start next semester, and this was in November, by the way, because you're going to start in January, we typically give our teachers the bonus in December. And so we got basically like a three-month advance from nothing, and we're like, praise the Lord. You know, obviously, as, you know, the guy in the house, I was like, yeah, you know. At the time, I was like, I knew God was going to come through. Inside, I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus, right? But God took care of us. And it was, honestly, it was that small step of faith. And some other ones that we went through that we realized, you know what? God's going to take care of us. And it's really enabled us to kind of get to this point where we're saying, okay, God, if you want us to move, we'll do it. Because we know you're going to be the one who takes care of our kids, takes care of us, and all these sort of things. And so, that's really my experience of God being faithful. And so, let me ask Pastor Andrew to come up, Verity. Let me ask Verity to come up. And let me ask us to close our eyes on this point. Is there something that God is asking of you today? Is there something that you know God has called you to do, or a promise, or whatever it is that you feel like that is totally beyond you? In some cases, I would say, don't worry about it. God is going to get you there. He's going to be the one that's going to be able to provide your way there, or whatever the case may be. But we do have a small part to play. And that small part is simply to say yes to the small things. Right? In some ways, it's actually easier for us to take our eyes off the big sort of the steps of faith and not to let the fear of that stuff worry us, but simply to say yes to the small little things He asks of us on a day-to-day basis. Don't do this. Don't go there. Do this. It is in these small things that happen daily that really process us into the great multitudes of faith that allow us to make steps of faith, such as sacrificing a son. Obviously, God, I don't think He's going to ask you to do that, right? But I mean, I'm talking about like a similar level of decision of faith. And so as Verity leads us to this morning, let's really ask God, Lord, help me. I may not be there yet. I may not be able to offer up an Isaac. I may not be able to offer up my job or all these sort of things. But help me to at least trust in you today. Help me to be faithful to the small things you ask of me today. Help me to at least be able to simply say yes. And to come and see what you are going to do in me. Let's pray. Let's continue to pray. Let's ask God to finish His processing in us. It's the idea that we know that we're not there yet, but Lord, we trust You that You're going to get us there. Let's pray. Let's pray for those in our community in need of healing. Let's pray, especially from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's pray that God's hand will just touch them as Holy Spirit will come and just bring healing over them and bring comfort in the areas of their life. And so let's pray. Let's pray for those in need of healing and salvation as well. Let's pray that God will reveal His Son in them. Let's pray that they'll have dreams and visions of Him. But let's also pray that during this time that His mercies will fall on them, that they'll be healed. And so let's lift them up. Let's pray for those in need of healing from non-cancer related infirmities. Let's really pray for God's touch and healing. Let's pray Isaiah 53 over them, that by His stripes that they're healed. So let's lift them up. Let's pray for those in our community in need of work. Let's pray that God will continue to just bring encouragement to them, that they won't. Sometimes when you haven't been working for too long, it's easy to get discouraged. And so let's pray for encouragement. But let's also pray that during this time that God will just prepare them for whatever it is that He's called them to. And so let's lift them up. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's lift up China. Let's pray for SB Beijing, especially as China is going to be enforcing some of their new laws. And so let's really pray for protection over them that during this time, Lord will cover them. And pray that for Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe and Enoch, let's pray for the family. Let's pray for all the leaders and board members. Let's pray for covering over them, protection over them as well. Let's pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, all the churches, and basically everyone on that list that will be affected by these laws. Let's really pray that God will continue to be able to move through them. And in many ways, hopefully, they won't be affected. And so let's lift them up. Let's lift up our board as well. Let's pray for God's covering over them, over their families. Let's pray for P. Sam, especially. He's been having migraines since coming back. And so let's pray for healing over him and rest, and that he'll be able to recover quickly. But let's really pray for wisdom over all our board members, that they'll be able to discern what it is that God is speaking to them about our church and how to lead us. And so let's lift them up. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries. Let's lift up young adults, men's ministry, women's ministry, and SP Rings. Let's pray for the leaders, but let's take some time, especially right now, to lift up the retreats. I know young adults, men's, and women's ministry will be having their retreat, and SP Rings as well. Let's really pray that God will be in all that they do, and that the Spirit of God and the presence of God will just come in and really just rock their shoes. And so let's pray. Lift up SP 2.0. Let's pray that for our new building, wherever it is, let's pray for God to really fulfill his vision for us and to bring this building to us. Let's pray for the benefactor as well. We've had many prophetic words that someone will come alongside us and to provide for us a building. And so let's also pray for the Vision Fund as well. Let's pray that God continues to bring funds into us for the use of the building. And so let's lift it up. Lastly, let's pray for house churches. Let's pray for Blue Pool, Sambria, Causeway Bay, EastEnders, House to House, Island, Lido, Lion Rock, new conduit, Robinhood TST. Let's really pray that they're going to have such an amazing time fellowshipping tonight, but that they're going to have discussions that really help them bring them towards Jesus as well. And so let's lift them up. So, Father, we thank you, God, for today, Lord. We thank you for your example, the example in Abraham, Lord. We just pray, God, help us to, like Abraham, Lord, be finished in our process with you, Lord. God, help us to continue to say yes to you and whatever it is that you ask of us, Lord, whether it's big or it's small, trusting, God, that not only are you going to take us there, God, but you have the best for us as well. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, for my friends, God, this morning. I pray that in whatever situation they're in, Lord, help them, God, see your grace and your mercy. Help them to see that you are with them and for them, God. That, Father, saying yes becomes an easy thing to do. And so we thank you, Lord. I bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So bless you guys. Have a good time of prayer. And we'll see you guys back tomorrow.